The NFL season starts tonight, and that means the fantasy season starts as well. Get those lineups in if you have any Eagles, any Cowboys rolling out there tonight. Joe O, Sammy P, this is Bet Sweats, BetMGM Network. Now kind enough to join us on opening night, Ian Harditz from FantasyLife.com at iHarditz over on X. Ian, thanks for joining us. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great, fellas. Appreciate you having me on. Just have football back, guys. Best sport in the world. I'm pretty sure we can all agree on that. You know, our long 6-month national nightmare is finally over. So let's freaking go.
Before we do anything else, I want to say this is the first time I've ever seen a Cardale Jones jersey hanging in the background of somebody's shot. That is outstanding. And that is also the first big future bet I ever hit when Braxton Miller went down that summer. I had a buddy in Vegas say, Sam, JT Barrett's better. And I got in at 25-1, and then JT goes down. And here goes big old 12 gauge running over Alabama linebackers in the playoff, baby.
He was so fun to watch. What an incredible season, man. It is a situation. I've been blessed enough to get the Natties in 02, 14, and then obviously last year as well. So Cardale Jones, he's still around a bunch in Columbus. I'm sure that man hasn't had to buy his own drink here in quite some time.
Yep. And still looking strong with the start of the season last week against Texas. But let's talk some NFL. All right. Here's what's on my mind. Everybody goes nuts waiver wire. Some people, you know, they spend all their dollars in week number one. Give me a player or two that you would suggest people right now go get them before the week one slate happens. Because come Tuesday, everybody's going to be talking about these players.
I think there's two guys who kind of fit this bill. They're still under, you know, about 40% roster on ESPN and Yahoo. The first of which is going to be Dolphins RB2, Ollie Gordon at this point. Devon Achane is going to be out there. Sounds like the calf injury isn't holding him back, and that's fine and dandy. But as someone who unfortunately spent all summer drafting Jalen Wright, I do think that we should have been more attuned to this RB2 role in Miami. And look, give Ollie Gordon all the credit. One of the more impressive, I think, preseason performers that we had out there. I believe he actually racked up the most broken tackles of anyone in the preseason, but man, did he run hot with some of these injuries. Mentioned Achane being banged up, obviously right out of the picture for at least the first month with his own lower body issue, and Alexander Mattison done for the season. So I don't love the vibes around the Dolphins, guys, but with Ollie Gordon, we have someone who is a handcuff. If something happens to Achane, we're going to be loving him, and maybe, just maybe, actually has some own standalone value, like we saw Raheem Mostert back in 2023 when he scored like 22 freaking touchdowns out there. So love me some Ollie Gordon, and also love me some Dylan Sampson, who I believe will be taking the first snaps for the Browns. The Quinshon Judkins situation continues to seemingly be nowhere near completely done. Suspension still on the table. And man, even when he comes back, like after missing the entire month, we actually had the Athletic's Zach Jackson say that he believes Quinshon, even if he signs soon, won't be suiting up until October. So if any of you guys are like me and you have these, you know, zero or hero RB teams where you're not loving the guy that you're having to start at RB2 early on, I do think Dylan Sampson and the Browns offense, that at least with Flacco under center, can put up some good points, and he should be able to get, you know, 12 to 15 combined carries and targets per week. Tough to argue about that when he is, again, probably actively on your waiver wire.
We're a relatively big Niners show this year in a lot of ways, and I have McCaffrey to win offensive player, but I don't need you to tell me McCaffrey's good. We all know that. The narrative around San Fran, though, Ian, is that they don't have any receivers. Not true. If there was a receiver you could buy low on in San Francisco, do you have a name for us?
I've maintained that the answer to which wide receiver to draft is just basically George Kittle, and assume he's going to go off, but I know he's a top 4-round pick as well. I would lean towards Ricky Pearsall, but the fact that we do have good news on Jennings now, getting those extra incentive dollars and seemingly over the calf injury that maybe just was contract related the whole time, it is going to be close between those guys. But I'll get Pearsall to lean just based on kind of some of the things we saw during that final 2-week stretch last year. Obviously went off against the Lions and Cardinals. I don't love the lack of production before that. But then again, if there was ever a guy who had an excuse, I do think it would be the man who, again, was taking lead to the chest back there in August. So Ricky Pearsall got the first round draft capital for a reason. I think he's going to be their guy to like to get in motion before the snap. And as physical as Jennings is, I just think we've already seen some of that, again, chemistry between Purdy and Pearsall. So between McCaffrey and Kittle leading the way, I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see exactly anyone blowing up the stat sheet like a prime Ayuk or Debo. But for now, give me rookie bullets.
With Ian Harditz here, Bet Sweats, BetMGM Network. One quarterback that just it surprised me a little bit when I started looking at the ADP and all the projections that are out there. And I was wondering if you're with it. And I'm talking about Justin Fields. He was going around 9, 10. People obviously think fantasy points wise, okay, they're going to decide to use his legs there in New York. What are you thinking with Fields this season?
He was one of those guys where I'm with you. I wasn't exactly going out of my way for necessarily. I think on Yahoo he was closer to, you know, pick 80 or pick 90. But a lot of drafts I was in, he ended up falling into that QB 15, 16 range where, yeah, I think he is worth a dart at that price. And if you find yourself missing on the Josh Allens and the Lamar Jacksons of the world, getting one of Justin Fields and then any of, you know, J.J. McCarthy, Justin Herbert, Jordan Love in that QB 2 tier, that was more so my strategy versus reaching on someone like a Bo Nix or even, you know, a Baker Mayfield. Field who were still going in areas of the draft where we had some pretty awesome running backs and wide receivers. So I know it could be very ugly with Justin Fields, but guys, we've been doing this for a while. I remember when Taysom Hill was getting 4 week spot starts at quarterback and putting up big time fantasy numbers. Tim Tebow, the freaking biggest joke of a professional passer we can come up with, was a great fantasy quarterback because, as you said, he ran the ball. And we just don't have much experience seeing quarterbacks who run as much as Fields overly bust in fantasy land. Specifically, guys, last 10 years, 31 quarterbacks have at least 100 rush attempts in a season. 28 of them wound up posting top 12 numbers in fantasy points per game, not even doing the thing where you can say overall numbers for who stayed healthy. So again, not going to be pretty. I would not recommend people tuning into too many Jets games this year, but I think when everything's said and done and we look up, Fields will be a top 12 fantasy quarterback.
I have found myself taking kickers later and later and later in fantasy. When I was younger, I would just fill my starting lineup out and I would take a kicker relatively early and then realize, oh, like there's going to be a kicker that comes out of nowhere, like always. And it's funny, and you look up week three, the top five kickers, three of them went undrafted. So you could just scoop them right off the waiver, right? Is there a kicker or two you have in mind this year that could be a great addition after a couple of weeks?
I despise fantasy leagues with kickers in them. I don't think that real life teams should have kickers anymore. Larry David had a really good rant about this on the Rich Eisen show. It's just ridiculous that we let these half-breeds into our sport in the first place. That be it. That's not going to change, and we got to deal with it. So I will say I subjected myself to about an hour of kicker research this offseason. And what I found was actually that we don't necessarily want to target kickers from the Bills and the Ravens and these top-tier scoring offenses. When you have an exception like Justin Tucker where they can make it from 60, okay, then I guess we can get behind that. But just honestly thinking about it, like we want kickers and the data backs us up in terms of the fantasy correlation. We want kickers from good, not great offenses. Okay. Offenses that can move the ball, but can't exactly punch it across the goal line. They have to settle for 3 points more times than not. And then we just want guys who can hopefully be able to, again, boot it for 50 plus and get those stupid bonus points that fantasy leagues are still rewarding in the year 2025. So with all that said, I think Cam Little for the Jaguars, someone who made that 70 yarder in the preseason, actually does check these boxes. We know he's got the leg strength. We know it's a Jaguars offense with Liam Cohen where we're expecting bigger things from. I'm not exactly assuming them to be this top five unit, but hey, if they end up being between 10 or 15, that would make sense to me. And I think he checks those boxes. So obviously sometimes have some weather concerns in Jacksonville, you know, rainy Florida and everything. So it would be a bit cooler if we were in a dome, but at least this week, the weather does look clear. Cam Little, I would say, I believe it's Will Lutz over there with the Broncos, certainly good things in the air over the down there at Mile High. And then otherwise guys, Young Hoku would be the only other guy I'd kind of be looking at. Falcons kind of have this NFC Bengals sort of vibe. The Cowboys definitely do, but the Falcons would kind of be my second pick. We'll see if those, you know, first round edge rushers can give them a good defense, but been quite some time since we feared anything in Atlanta. And I do think, you know, the Michael Penix experience, we got a preview of the sort of fantasy friendly shootouts we could be seeing on a more weekly basis this year in those Commanders and Panthers shootouts at the end of last season.
Sam mentioned that he liked Christian McCaffrey for OPOY would be the second time in 3 years. And over the last 6 years, Ian, it looks like the voters got together and decided, okay, look, we know quarterback is the MVP every single year. So let's make OPOY a non-quarterback. Let's go wide receiver or running back. And that's what they've been doing. Barkley, yeah. CMC, Jefferson Cup last 4 years. If you were to pick one running back or receiver that is just going to go next level, and it's going to be obvious, this is your pick for offensive player of the year, where would you go?
Give me Nico Collins. I think he could be a dark horse to finish as the overall fantasy wide receiver one. And it's nothing against, you know, the Malik Nabers and the Jamar Chases of the world. But I just think when we're kind of looking at any wide receiver, okay, we're trying to check the same four boxes in some way, shape, or form. Are they, you know, an appropriate age range and not injured? Nico checks that box. Are they exceptionally talented? Nico's the only wide receiver to average north of 3 yards per out run over the past two seasons. I do very much think he's in any conversation as a top five real life wide receiver. How good is their quarterback? I personally, despite last year being a step back, still consider CJ Stroud to be a very plus thrower of the football. Hopefully the new scheme does him a few more favors. It sounds like he's also going to have a lot more freedom at the line of scrimmage. And then it comes down to that volume ceiling. And honestly, guys, if we look up in December, Nico's leading the league in targets, I don't think any of us would be overly shocked. I mean, heck, Christian Kirk is already dealing with a hamstring injury now, and that was looking like his biggest competition. Now it's just a bunch of, you know, Iowa State Cyclone youngins, you know, splitting the offense with him. So Nico Collins, again, situation in Houston where I don't love the fact that that reshuffled offensive line still looks pretty bad on paper. But man, if there is one sure thing in Houston, I do think it's a Stroud to Nico connection. Give me Nico for OPOY.
I'm not going to lead the witness here. I know people like to do that, but I'm not going to. Very open-ended question. Favorite NFL bet, side, total, win total, prop. Is there a favorite bet that you just can't wait to see come through?
I really liked when I was going through my kind of team preview series. I'll see what I actually got them at. But the Vikings over under, taking the over on that, really did make a lot of sense to me. They were at 8.5 when I got there. And it's just all the respect to, I guess, you know, just the coaching staff, KOC, and then also Brian Flores on the defensive side of the ball. If JJ McCarthy can just be decent, man, I think he's going to be great in that system, because that's what KOC has done with all these quarterbacks. And we can go through the pass or not, Nick Mullins getting all that out of Kirk Cousins. But honestly, why even go back that far when we just saw what happened with Sam Darnold last season? So I do think if you had to go around the NFL and just try to pick like the most quarterback friendly environments, like if we unfortunately guys had to go out there and play 60 minutes on Sunday, what offense and coaching staff would we hope could get the most out of us? It'd be ugly. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. But Philly, obviously near the top there, Minnesota and Los Angeles, like those are three I would say when you consider some of the offensive line improvements as well, really are going to be some of the more QB friendly situations. And then with that defense, just some of the additions they made, and all the due respect to Brian Flores, really whenever he's playing someone other than Ben Johnson, I just think it's a very complete team. And only 8.5 wins, man. I mean, KLC has gone for 13-7-14 during his three seasons leading the squad. I very much think the Vikings are real contenders, and to see again a win total under 9, I think it's a little bit too much disrespect to JJ McCarthy and the team environment as a whole.
Super Bowl prediction, last chance, first game's tonight, what do you think?
Bills over 49ers. Bills Mafia finally gets their title. Last year with the stadium, they had the Hard Knocks. Come on, it's too perfect. Let's go, Josh Allen.
There you go.
That's my exact Super Bowl, bro. The exact one.
Let's go. Great minds.
Damn. Good call, man. Good call.
What could go wrong? Taking Buffalo to win the Super Bowl. You know, what could possibly go wrong there, Ian?
Did you guys see the stat? Ben Solik, ESPN, obviously fantastic writer, where in terms of DVOA from 2020 to 2024, the Ravens and Bills have the two best five-year stretches in NFL history that did not result in a single Super Bowl appearance. One of them has to get this monkey off their back at some point. Hopefully it's the Bills this year.
Feels like everybody's jumping. Okay, now it's the Ravens' time, and now it's the Packers' time. Because of Parsons. Like, that seems to be the two most popular picks right now, as people are trying to get those Super Bowl picks as we head into the start of the season coming up tonight. Ian Harditz, check him out, fantasylife.com. Great content there, 5 shows a week. Ian, the grind really starts now. Best of luck this season. Hope to talk to you throughout the year, all right?
Good luck to you guys. Enjoy the week one.
Thanks, Ian. Good stuff. Same exact Super Bowl pick as you, Sam. Hilarious.
Not going to lie. It moved a little bit when he said that. Little. I'm not going to lie. I know.
I get it. I mean, I'm going to talk to the boys in Buffalo later on, and I know the question is coming. Are you with Sam? Are you with the Bills winning the Super Bowl? I can't do it again. Like, I've thought it was their time in the past. It doesn't mean it isn't this year, but, yeah, I don't think I'm going to be able to get there. But hopefully I'll be pleasantly surprised when it ends up happening this season. I don't think that would be a shock to anybody if that's the case. The one thing is it going to have to take out Mahomes and Lamar? That, I mean, I think that's the best way to get it, right?
Well, I think the hope there is that the AFC cannibalizes itself and right. Buffalo has an easy path. I mean, that's my hope. It will never be that easy, though. They're going to have to earn it,
nope.
as teams do, and get through one or both of Mahomes, Lamar Jackson. But I feel good about it. You know, the guys in Buffalo, they don't think they have a safety room. And that's – it's funny because I'm like, Super Bowl, Super Bowl, Super Bowl. And if you listen to Buffalo radio, safety's an issue. So the truth is probably somewhere in the middle.
All right. All right. 10 toes down. Coming up at the top of the hour. We're going to debut that segment. I think it's going to be a winner. We can't wait. More coming up. Joe O, Sammy P, Bet Sweats, BetMGM Network.